Those of you who were at coffee and Catholicism last night, I was really worried that Father Aaron was going to steal my thunder, because the Second Vatican Council produced a pastoral constitution on the church in the modern world titled Gaudium et Spes, which translates to joy and hope. In this document, the Council Fathers desired to explore the church's transformative and Christocentric mission and what it looks like in the modern world, a world filled with many avenues of thought, influenced by sin and concupiscence that lead to the pains of the human heart. This document is filled with, at least what I consider, beautiful theological gems of truth about who we are and who God is. One of those gems in particular that I especially love, and which I think helps us to mine more deeply the spiritual fruits of the feast that we celebrate today, namely the baptism of the Lord, is found in paragraph 22. The Council Fathers write, "The truth is that only in the mystery of the incarnate Word does the mystery of man take on light. For Adam, the first man, was a figure of him who was to come, namely Christ the Lord. Christ, the final Adam, by the revelation of the mystery of the Father and his love, fully reveals man to man himself and makes his supreme calling clear. So Christ Jesus, in the mystery of our loving God's action throughout salvation history, reveals who we are and what we have been created for. And this truth of our faith becomes an interpretive key to understanding Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan. Because if we're being honest, Jesus' baptism pretty easily raises some questions for us, especially with what we know about the sacrament of baptism. We know baptism as the sacrament that cleanses us of original sin and brings us into the church as members of the body of Christ. Okay, well, Jesus really didn't need either of those things. He is already the Christ, and he was like us in all things except for sin. Yet as the one who reveals man fully to himself, Jesus is paving the way for what is to be provided for us. He is sanctifying the waters of the world that we might be baptized with fire and the Holy Spirit, which is, of course, a beautiful reality. Yet I think there is something deeper here, something beyond the institution of a sacrament that is abundantly present in our gospel today. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is opening up a new reality for us in his baptism, a new invitation to relationship with God that our ancestors in the faith were not afforded. Because the simple fact of the matter is, at least from purely philosophical and theological terms, God does not need us, despite us desperately needing him. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is perfect and would be perfect even if we did not exist. John the Baptist seems to recognize this in some sense in his interaction with Jesus when Jesus approaches him to be baptized. I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me. As if to say, you have no need of me. I'm not worthy to be the one that ministers to you. You are the one who ought to save me. Because God does not need us. yet he does delight in us. His infinite love for us has been poured out throughout all of salvation history, paving the way for us to be made like him, to rejoice in exultation in the halls of heaven for all of eternity. He delights in us, his prized creation. And his heart for us is that we would receive this invitation made in our baptism to be made like him. Because as Jesus reveals man to himself, the words of the Father coming down from heaven over Jesus are the same words that he speaks to us. This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved sons and daughters. And in you I am well pleased. This is what Jesus' baptism does for us. It opens the door for us into this divine adoption, that our hearts might be made after his own sacred heart. He reveals to us that through our own baptism, we are truly made sons and daughters of God. A truth that I think is easily treated as a test answer for a religious education class, rather than something that we allow to be the very center of our lives. Yet it is so clearly the center point of our entire faith, revealed to us in the baptism of Jesus. And so, the invitation remains for us that we would enter into this truth with trust and fidelity, as Jesus seeks to remind us, even today at this altar, at this Mass, of this same reality. That he who took on flesh, gives us the gift of baptism, shed his blood for us on the cross, and now waits for us here in the most holy Eucharist, delights in us. He has made us sons and daughters of the Father, and he wants to transform our weak and sinful hearts to be like his. So as we approach the altar this morning to receive our Lord in the Eucharist, let us prayerfully bring to him those places of our hearts that have not been purified, that have not yet seen the gaze of the Father. And we know these parts. These sins that we bring to confession time and again, those weak points in our lives, bring them to him. Because he does not grow weary of bestowing his grace and mercy upon us, because he delights in us. And how much more he delights when we allow him to be the Lord and Savior of every part of our lives. Amen.